Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. So, James, you're going to talk first because you're the creator of the GrowBot?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, James, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am born and raised in Mississippi and spent a lot of time on my grandfather's farm and was a very technically oriented kid and then went off to the traveling the world for a number of years and have always stayed in computers, but have always also had multiple home gardening projects, including hydroponics to grow vegetables and stuff when I lived in California, and I've kind of taken it to a new step here.
Okay, and you're in Hawaii now. Is everybody in Hawaii?
Yes, we are all
in Hawaii. Okay. Uh-huh. All right, and then it was it Greg? Sorry, my Skype screen's gone now.
Yes, this is Greg. I'm originally from New Jersey and have, after college, did a lot of work in technical sales, taking an engineering degree to kind of help folks develop businesses and technological solutions and helping them to deliver those solutions accordingly and doing some marketing work as well.
Cool. Well, tell us a little bit about the GrowBot.
The GrowBot is it's about the size of a coffee table. And what it does is it grows a salad pretty much every day. In that coffee table area size, and it uses hydroponics, but also kind of the automation for adding the plant food and adding the water, so you just don't have to think about it. You kind of just put it in your backyard, you connect the hose, you put in your seeds, and then about 10 days later, most of your seeds should have all sprouted, and then you take off the cups, little germination cups, and then about 4 weeks later, most lettuce is ready to start harvesting, and then most of the varieties of lettuce that we recommend to people are ones that perpetually grow new leaves. And then you can also grow kale and or carrots and other type of root vegetables. There's an area for that as well. And it's that's kind of like the basics of it. And the core thing is it's just very, very easy to use is what I was striving for. And also very, very economical. It costs for getting that salad a day plus some kale, or some of the vegetables, it's less than a dollar in plant food. And it uses a mixture of bird manure and or guano, and then seaweed and a little bit of fulvic acid, which are all naturally sourced.
Fulvic acid?
Uh huh. Okay. Yeah, fulvic acid's inside of soil and seawater, and that's a naturally occurring substance. But this particular the source for this is a mineral called leonardite.
Okay. So let's see, how long have you been so it's on Kickstarter, right?
Indiegogo. Indiegogo.
So are you producing them and selling them, or you're just it's still in the trial phase, beta phase? I don't know.
I've been building prototypes, testing out the technology for about 7 years. I started in California with a really big one that my wife was, she was not really happy with how big it was and wasn't portable. And so the next one that I built was much smaller footprint and something we could easily move around the backyard so that when we had dinner parties or the kids just wanted to use the backyard for kickball or whatever, we could easily move it out of the way and then move it back to the center of the yard where the best light was. And then that's the kind of the footprint that I kept with when I moved to Hawaii and built this GrowBot. And so this GrowBot, has that small footprint, so it's really easy just for two people to pick it up, move it out of the way, and then move it back to where you want it. And basically about 7 years of work on it, and it's multiple versions of it, looking for what worked best. And this particular model, we started on it, and I kind of finished the design late last year. I had it started work, and actually had it completed early January, and then the first plants were growing in early February, and it's all documented. We have lots of pictures and timelines and all this sort of stuff, and we've been actually haven't had to buy lettuce since early March. I haven't had to buy lettuce, and then kale came in a few weeks later, and that's been just doing fantastic. And we've had tomatoes and cucumbers and things like that.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's,
Yeah, I love this idea because this is really going to help people that want to have like a garden in the winter to be able to have salad. Is there enough light in the, or can you, I guess you could use like house lights or grow lights or something if you wanted, but.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can totally use grow lights. There's a whole bunch of ones that are like becoming much more economical to both purchase and to operate. They're either called compact fluorescents or the LEDs. And both of those are pretty economical to purchase and to operate. And we're going to come out with a package that is for people. You know, they can sit it in their garage or another spare room that's convenient. Just need to have a water fitting so you can connect the water. So it's, you know, because we want to keep that automation. That's where people get into a lot of trouble is they forget to water it. And then that's one of the problems that I personally have had was like the models of the grow bots that were not fully automated was when I forgot to keep it watered. So we added that feature. And then for consistent growth, just need to add the plant food on a regular basis.
Now, is it like a table full of water and they're growing in water or are they growing in dirt?
It's a mixture of water and perlite.
Oh, cool. Okay. And so you just get the seeds, put the seeds in it, and it kind of does its own thing?
Yeah. Well, you know, seeds are the miracle, right? I mean, we put the seeds inside there, inside the basically coconut core pellets, inside these little net pots that are in that just barely touch the water. You know, the water wicks up. You know, the seed gets wet, it wakes up, it starts to grow. 5-10 days later, you have a little plant. And then a couple weeks after that, depending on the plant, you can start harvesting. So I mean, most of the miracle, I think, is just inside the seeds. We just really give it a really great place for it to live.
Okay. And Krista typed in that you can use any medium you want, right? Did you guys see that?
I did not
see that. It doesn't have to be the perlite?
It doesn't have to be perlite. Like, we haven't tested it with the coconut core, but the kind of the core technology with the watering and the feeding, it lends itself to have a lot of different things. Like, some plants actually do better in just pure coconut core, or they do better in something that's more moist, like peat. So, and you can add whatever medium is going to be best for the plants that you're growing.
Okay.
But you might have to test it.
So let's see, what else do you guys have? More you want to say, or you want me to find some questions? Or,
well, Jackie, this is Greg, if I may.
Sure.
I was going to say that for the crowdfunding campaign, which we're launching on Indiegogo, folks will be able to pre-order a GrowBot. So effectively we have the prototypes ready to go. We've got the agreements with manufacturers, we've got everything in place, and the crowdfunding campaign will give people the ability to see the GrowBot, get their questions answered, understand more about it, and then effectively pre-order their GrowBot. We're targeting a delivery of spring 2016 for the GrowBot. So people, like I said, will be able to pre-order theirs and are encouraged to share it with all of their friends, because we will reward referrals and people will actually be able to earn their own GrowBot by referring others.
Cool. That's like network marketing, right?
Is that in a way, yeah.
Sort of?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Anything else?
The GrowBot is intelligent. So it's a full computer inside that little coffee table. And that little computer, what it has is it has a series of maps. And these maps allow it to recognize plants. And then once it identifies a plant, it'll then be able to give it the proper amount of nutrient. And then what's kind of cool,
really?
As we get more and more, it's also a community group effort. So as more and more people get to using these GrowBots, every time a GrowBot doesn't recognize a picture, it can upload it, right? It'll upload it to our servers. And then we can look at that picture and say, whoa, hey, what is that? And then once we've had several thousand of those pictures, we can train the computers to recognize it. So then once we have enough pictures of that particular plant, then we can upgrade all the computers at once. All the GrowBots at once would be upgraded. So now they would all know how to grow like bok choy, as an example.
Okay, or goji berries, because somebody said, oh, I'm growing goji berries this year, and then at the farmer's market, I got a goji berry plant, and I have no idea what to do with it. And I certainly haven't had time to research it on the internet, so I stuck it under an apple tree, kind of. It's like they're buddies. And so it gets a little shade from the apple tree, and when we water the apple tree, it gets water, too.
Good.
Yeah, Jackie, this is Greg. I was going to say, that's exactly what we want people to do, is to, be able to experiment, be able to learn without having to have all that gardening knowledge, right? Unfortunately, there are way too many people out there that would love to have fresh organic produce, within steps of their kitchen, but, they don't have the time or the ability or the knowledge to do so. So we really want to be able to provide that organic fresh food for people who might not be able to afford it or who have mobility problems. And that's really what we're accomplishing with this.
Okay. So, the first question that's going through my head right now is, so am I going to be able to grow avocados or lemons or things that I normally couldn't grow?
Those sort of the bigger plants just won't fit inside the grow bot. So it's not really meant to fit the really big plants. Avocados.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. The avocados might be a bit challenging. It won't stop people from trying, including myself. I love avocados. we'll see what we can do. We do have an attachment for it that allows us to grow bigger plants. Right now, I've been growing sweet potatoes, which is
really
fantastic.
Well, that's the other one I really want to grow. So I'll be good with that.
Yeah, they grow really well inside there. It's just a good system to grow extra potatoes, strawberries, full range of other plants. We've tried melons a few times, but here in Hawaii we have the fruit flies, which make it a little bit tricky to get them all the way through. But I continue to try because I just really want to.
Heard a really good solution for fruit flies. I can't remember what it was, but I'm almost positive it's on Garden Nerd. And she has a podcast where she gives these 2-minute tips. Christine Wilhelmi out of California. Okay. She has this website called Garden Nerd, a podcast called Garden Nerd.
Okay.
And I could swear she had the easiest tip for getting rid of fruit flies I ever heard.
Oh, okay.
That might solve your problem.
Yeah. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
And then there's an app that goes for yourself. Oh, my apologies. I interrupted. Go ahead.
Nope. I just said, let's look it up.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
An
app.
Yeah, I was going to say there's an app that goes with the GrowBots. And so if you're like a lot of people, quite busy, and you're at work and whatnot, you can actually get a picture of your GrowBot every day on your cell phone so that you can check to see what's going on inside your GrowBot.
Wow. And that's handy if you want to go away or...
Yes.
But there's a lot of purposes for that.
Yeah. And then there's that. And then there's also the ability... we haven't built it into, it's just a software change, but I have some friends that have a little farm in Austin, Texas, or outside Austin, Texas, and they live primarily here. But they want to be able to basically have a GrowBot staged and ready to go at their Austin farm. So they can turn it on remotely about 6 to 8 weeks before they get there, so that when they get there, they have fresh vegetables. So little things like that are
really
neat.
A lot of people in Montana that would probably be into that too, because we have a lot of people that, either go south for the winter, or right now Eureka is inundated with Canadians that come across the border for the summer. And they, I guess, they're really into, not only the organic produce, but fresh herbs and things.
Yeah, totally.
And having that.
Absolutely. So some of the fresh herbs that we have normally are always having cilantro and basil in these in the bots, just because it's a kind of a permaculture thing where these really aromatic herbs will help to keep away some of the pests, and they taste good.
Mm-hmm. I can never have enough of either one of those. But I have never had good luck growing cilantro. I know people say it grows like a weed, but I don't have a cilantro plant in my garden, and I have a basil plant in my window at all times. I don't even try to put basil out really in Montana, because I know other people do it here successfully, but it's the most fragile. Any kind of a tiny freeze will take the basil out. So I just keep it in my window. So
yeah, Jackie, this is Greg again. I was going to say that, what we really are going to do, and what our mission is to create communities of backyard gardeners where people are able to share those tips. Okay, you know, someone in your community is able to grow cilantro well. You know, they're showing you how they do that or what plant food they're adding to the GrowBot that does that successfully. What I was thinking before, even when you were talking about avocado trees, is, you know, maybe someone starts a seed in a grow bucket to just grow it to a certain point and then they transplant it successfully. That's the kind of stuff that not only will the GrowBot learn by, you know, it has its onboard camera that it's using its artificial intelligence, it's understanding how that grows best. But then at the same time, the people using the GrowBots and eating from them every day are able to share those ideas, share how they're successful with this plant or that plant or this herb. And also, you know, we want to have people doing local food trades and local seed trades where they're, you know, exchanging ideas and actual food and seeds. So we're really excited about the prospect of how that community aspect can be.
Cool. Are you guys millennials?
No, I'm
1980, I am, and Krista is, yeah.
1980 to 1997, I just looked it up the other day. Because I really think the millennials are rocking this world, and I just think, I've been thinking about writing a book just about the cool millennials that are doing fun stuff like this.
Yeah, honestly, there's a great book called Cause for Change, and it's all about engaging millennials in, you know, in different ventures. It's the woman's name is going to escape me who wrote it, but she's brilliant. She did a whole bunch of that research. So yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things that personally, again, being a millennial, when James first came to me with the idea, I got so excited by how it can really make a dent in the world. So yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like almost every, I don't know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and for some reason I'm like addicted to the business ones and entrepreneur ones. And but it seems like a lot of the millennials that I hear about that are interviewed and that are doing things, you know, are really passionate about social causes, either the environment or education or healthcare and mm-hmm. sharing with, you know, people in developing countries, or, you know, here in the United States too, but just they seem like a pretty cool generation. I'm pretty proud of you guys.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you guys too, Brett.
Okay. Well, so what else do you guys want to tell us, or do you want to talk about, like, so the one question I always ask everybody is about their very first gardening experience. Like, do you guys want to share that with us?
Sure.
Like, you so what I usually say is, you know, how old were you, a kid or an adult? Who were you with? What'd you grow? You know, what do you remember about, like, as far back as you can remember? Because, like, my brother and I had my brother on one day, like, he couldn't remember back. I can remember back further than he can, I guess. So just how far back can you go?
I can go back to picking up pecans in my grandfather's pecan orchard in Mississippi. It's my first memories of being as a little kid and picking up pecans and having to weigh them in your hand, culling them, seeing which ones are good, which ones are bad, and then putting them in the old metal bucket, and then, you know, continuing to do that all day long.
Wow. Okay, and that's James, right? That grew up in Mississippi?
That's James, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, and culling pecans with your grandfather.
Yes.
Cool. All right, how about you, Greg?
Yeah, for me,
Krista, are you going to type it in while we're talking? Sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, it was working with my grandmother, my Italian-born grandmother, to grow basil and tomatoes in her backyard and peppers and various other – it was a very small garden because grandma had a very small backyard, but she made it work to have all her fresh herbs and the tomatoes that she wanted for all her delicious home cooking. So that always had a special place in my heart for the power of gardening and what it can do. But at the same time, I'll be bluntly honest that I frankly haven't touched it until about a year ago when I moved out here to Hawaii with the intention of I wanted to take a break from the tech world. I have a background in running a tech startup and a couple other ventures, and I wanted to just unplug, and I started doing work trade on a farm here. So I'm living and working on an organic farm here in Hawaii, and I've been doing that for about a year. But before that, frankly, very, very little experience.
Wow. So is that part of that woofer program?
It's effectively the same. We're not technically on the WOOF network, which stands for Worldwide Organization of Organic Farmers. This farm is not, but several other farms in this part of the island are, and it's the same setup that those farms have.
And what island are you guys on? The Big Island or Little Island? Or
Yeah, we're on the island of Kauai.
Okay. And so you're all on the same island?
We are.
Okay. And then, okay, and then Krista says, I recently tried for the first time and failed miserably. What was supposed to be this amazing backyard fruit and vegetable garden of Eden has turned into weeds and bush. So I'm officially giving up and getting myself a growbot because I can't even keep an orchid alive. Aww. Well, I hear you, Krista. If I didn't have a husband who did most of the work, I could barely keep my basil plant alive too. But you know, keep listening to my podcast, and you might get some stuff down, and then, of course, your growbot's going to work too. Okay. And then, do you guys want to share with us, like, what does organic gardening or earth friendly gardening mean to you?
Go ahead, James. Why don't you start?
Sure. Yeah, organic gardening for me is using the air. You know, just good air, good water. The best nutrients that you can find that are naturally sourced, and really just loving on the land, you know, and loving on the environment around you. And one of the great things about the growbot is there's no runoff from the growbot. It's completely sealed. All the water you put inside there is used, so it uses very little water compared to traditional gardening. And you also don't have that fertilizer runoff that you have in traditional gardening, where you put fertilizer on the ground and then some of it goes to the roots, but some of it also goes into the drain or your local streams, which eventually gets to the ocean. So, really happy that we were able to tackle that.
Cool. How'd you guys learn about hydroponics?
I was looking for a small gardening solution because when I lived in Oakland, California, our backyard was tiny and I really wanted to have our own garden, but we just didn't physically have enough space for a traditional garden. So I had to kind of look outside the normal stuff.
Jackie, this is Greg. There was one other thing I wanted to mention. So, you were talking before about the causes and such, and, you know, us trying to kind of make a dent in the world. One thing that we're really excited about doing as part of the referral campaign, where people can get, if they get friends and family to also buy growbots, they can earn free ones. We're going to really encourage people to, if they earn a free one and have already bought one for themselves, to send them to inner city schools and places that, you know, communities that really need it, that really need the fresh food and the fresh fruits and vegetables that they don't get enough of, particularly for kids. So we really want to try and promote this, you know, as much as we can for communities to really take advantage of that fresh food.
Okay. And veterans are the other big one that can probably use it too.
Yeah, right.
Okay. James, here we go. Here's my final question. If there was one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale? And you can talk about your growbot if you think that's like the gonna save the world answer.
Thank you. I would say that we just need to be very conscientious of every decision that we make. I think that if we are all very conscious of what we're doing, what we're buying, what we're investing in, that we can then solve all the problems that are just local to us. And I think that if people just get really local and just be really present with their local problems and they fix those local problems, all the problems, the big problems, just get fixed because we just fixed everything locally. That's what I think is kind of the bigger thing is a lot of people get distracted by what's on the news, and then they think that the problem in someplace far away is their biggest problem, when really it's them not paying attention to what's going on right in their neighborhood, right in their homes sometimes.
Excellent. I think that's a great answer. Okay. How about it, like, an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to start their own garden?
It's if you get a GrowBot, I'll put my my GrowBot inside there. It's really easy. It's a really easy thing to use. I developed it primarily because I'm not a very good gardener. I get pretty busy with the projects that I'm working on. I don't always remember, but the GrowBot is wonderful in helping you to have a really nice salad or kale. And I have built multiple now. I have close to 10 of them. And it's fantastic that I don't have to go to the store to buy most of my produce.
Oh, wow. So like 10 of them together, that's like a regular full-size garden you've got there then.
Yeah, times five. It's a big, you can grow a lot more in a lot less space when you're using a GrowBot.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what the hydroponics people say too. I mean, the aquaponics people say too.
Yeah, totally. A lot of it's just the kind of the technology that's inside there, or the method at least, that because the roots are in water and that water is being moved past the roots that has all the nutrients. It's not like in dirt where the roots use the nutrients in that little area and they have to keep spreading out and out and out, trying to get more and more nutrients until they kind of reach their max size, and that's as good as it's going to get. With the water carrying the nutrients to the roots, it's a lot more productive.
Okay, so I know what my biggest question was. Like, what about people that are afraid of technology? You know, there's a lot of people that are, like, hesitant still to have an iPhone or have a, you know, get on a computer, still don't have a Facebook account. Like, what about those people? Like, you say it's pretty easy, but
how
you
easy
sound like you're pretty friendly with the technology.
I am. No, I totally was conscientious of it. So my mom, who doesn't really feel comfortable operating a cell phone, and then my youngest daughter, who's now 10, those are my primary test subjects. So when they're using the GrowBot successfully, including the setup, that was my use case. And so there's no buttons on the GrowBot. When the people pre-purchase their GrowBot on Indiegogo, we'll actually build it with it already pre-configured for them. So when they take it out of the box, plug in the water hose, put in the seeds, and it starts growing, there's no other buttons to push or configuration things to go. It then becomes just that very natural thing of us wanting to nurture our plants by going and looking at it on a regular basis. And just, you know, I don't know. I'm like one of those people that just kind of likes to gaze at the garden. And that's kind of like what this thing is really helping people to do, because you don't have to do the digging. You don't have to do the weeding. You don't have to think about like soil pH and do you have the right nutrients inside there, all those gazillion things you have to do properly if you're going to raise a good garden. This one just does that for you. So it's actually easier to use for some people at least than a traditional garden.
Cool. Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. Well, thanks so much for coming on. Krista, thanks for setting this up. Sorry we couldn't hear you. James, good luck with everything. I'll put the links to everything in the show notes page. Now, the Indiegogo campaign hasn't started yet. So do you like
August
collecting
8th.
August 8th? And are you like collecting emails now so that when it comes out, people will get like an email from you? So they should go to your GrowBot site, or is there a Facebook page, or how do they connect with you?
They can go to mygrowbot.com and it'll redirect you to our email list sign up. And then what we're going to be doing also is that if you're an early adopter, if you're one of the people that purchases within the first 24 hours, we're going to give a 25% discount on it. And we will be emailing you with some updates as the campaign progresses. So we'll keep you up to date. And we love people to give us feedback on it because, you know, as much as we've put a lot of love and attention into it, we still, I'm sure there's room to make it even better. So. We really appreciate your feedback. And thank you so, so much, Jackie, for helping us. I really appreciate it.
Okay, and Krista says they're very affordable, less than the cost of a new smartphone. Excellent.
Okay. Yeah. We've kept the cost down, and we're really thankful for being able to do that. Because if people can't afford to use it, it's not a very good device. So we've kept the cost down to less than the cost of a cell phone. My desire is to help people that this like me, you know, that that want to have fresh organic produce, super convenient, more convenient than going to the store. And we want to have it economical so that that money in our pocket can, as much as possible, can stay in our pocket so we can go, you know, if we want to go on a little trip, hey, it's no problem. If we want to get some other gizmo thing that makes us happy for a little while, that's fine. But instead of spending such a huge amount on going to a farmer's, not necessarily farmer's markets, but some of these places where you spend so much money on the produce, you know, $100, like I was spending $40 a day or $40 three times a week when I was buying all of my produce from the local farmer's markets here in Kauai, which added up. But it's the right thing to do because you just, you know, what you put into your body is super important and it keeps you healthy. And you're not going to the doctor, not being sick, not in pain.
And I think that's a huge part of organics. Like a lot of people, like, I can't afford to buy most organic options at the store. You know, I have to buy the regular produce, and I think a lot of people do. And so being able to afford to grow your own organic produce is going to be a huge one for people. Like, and especially getting to grow sweet potatoes, I'm way excited. That sounds great.
Because
they're super expensive, you know. They're like $1.59 a pound for, you know, for not even an organic one. I haven't had a yam or a sweet potato, I don't think, since like before Christmas because they're cost prohibitive.
The bot should, depending on your sunlight and that sort of stuff, but every 3 months you should be able to get 10 to 20 pounds of sweet potatoes from the bot. And from what we call a bucket bot, it attaches to the main grow bot. And each grow bot can have up to 3 buckets. So you could actually have, you may be having more sweet potatoes than what you wanted. So you could actually put other things in those grow buckets. You don't have to put sweet potatoes.
Okay, good. Because my husband's not a sweet potato man. So he's going to want some of his own potatoes. The regular
right
kind. So he can have his bucket over there and I can have my bucket over here.
Absolutely.
Like well, cool. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, James, and sharing your invention. And it's going to be great.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Jackie.
Thank you so much for giving us the chance to chat.
Yep. Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at awesomemontana.com. That's just AWESOMEMONTANA.com. Like awesome Montana, all spelled out. And click on Mike's Green Garden and the Organic Gardener Podcast, and it will link right to the show notes and all the things we've talked about on today's show. Thanks again for listening, and grow local.